Welcome to the Hour of the Time. I'm Carolyn Nelson. We seem to be flying by instrument this evening. It is ladies' night. There's been a lot of static on the answering machine today. I understand that WWCR is not functioning very well. And who knows if we're going out over satellite, but here we go. It's good to talk to you all, and you and I are going to spend some time together tonight looking at a book called Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. This book was copyrighted in 1991 and published by the Light Technology Publishing Company, Post Office Box 1495, Sedona, Arizona, 86336, ISBN 0-929-385-22-5. The cover art, which is very stunning, was by Joanna Hikins. The first page from the Holy Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death. And hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with the beasts of the earth." William Cooper then says, "The ideas and conclusions expressed in this work are mine alone. It is possible that one or more conclusions may be wrong. The purpose of the book is to convince you, the reader, that something is terribly wrong. It is my hope that this work will inspire you to begin an earnest search for truth. Your conclusions may be different, but together maybe we can build a better world. One basic truth can be used as a foundation." Delamar Duveris is writing on the next page. "One basic truth can be used as a foundation for a mountain of lies, and if we dig down deep enough in the mountain of lies and bring out that truth, to set it on top of the mountain of lies, the entire mountain of lies will crumble under the weight of that one truth. And there is nothing more devastating to a structure of lies than the revelation of the truth upon which the structure of lies was built. Because the shock waves of the revelation of the truth reverberate and continue to reverberate throughout the earth for generations to follow, awakening even those people who had no desire to be awakened to the truth." The table of contents reveal 17 chapters in this book titled Behold a Pale Horse. The first one starts with Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And the 17th chapter is the documentation of the United States Army Intelligence connection with the Satanic Church. Appendix A through G follow, and there are 490 pages. Barbara Ann gives an introduction. "Some time ago, I had the opportunity to meet William Cooper and his wife Annie. It was part of my job to verify whether this man did indeed speak the truth or was just another person seeking fame and fortune. What I found was a rugged, bulldog-driven individual who was kind, thoughtful, and tender-hearted. He was truly concerned about you and your welfare. Bill knew that people were badly informed by a society which spoon-feeds you deception until there is no distinction between fiction and reality. He sees what others see happening, and he is not afraid to do something about it. There are many who do not want to know what Bill has to say. They have tried many times to stop him from saying it. The scars on his face and the loss of his leg are his badges of sincerity on your behalf. No one becomes popular by telling the truth. History records what happened to the true prophets of the past. However, some of you have listened to their warnings and were not caught off guard. Others have put their heads in the sand and refused to listen. Bill has it together and has put it together for you so that you can also be one of the informed of the world. A well-informed person can make right decisions. William Cooper has my vote of approval because I cared enough to find out who the man is. Now it is your opportunity. Remember, all of this is being stated in 1990, pre-publication of early 1991. William Cooper then goes on to say, there have been many related sequential coincidences all throughout my life, incidents that by themselves would have led nowhere. Statistically, the odds against the same or related sequence of events happening to one individual are astronomically high. It is this series of incidents that have convinced me that God has had a hand in my life. I do not believe in fate. I do not believe in accidents. I cannot and I will not accept the theory that long sequences of unrelated accidents determine world events. It is inconceivable that those with power and wealth would not band together with a common bond, a common interest, and a long-range plan to decide and direct the future of the world. For those with the resources to do otherwise would be totally irresponsible. I know that I would be the first to organize a conspiracy to control the outcome of the future if I were such a person and a conspiracy did not yet exist. I would do it in an attempt to ensure the survival of the principles in which I believe, the survival of my family, my survival, and the survival of the human race, if for no other reason. I believe, therefore, that a grand game of chess is being played on a level that we can barely imagine, and we are the pawns. Pawns are valuable only under certain circumstances and are frequently sacrificed to gain an advantage. Anyone who has studied military strategy is familiar with the concept of sacrifice. Those who have studied seriously history have probably discovered the real reason we go to war on a regularly scheduled basis. Before reading this book, I advise you to play at least two complete games of chess. You must learn the rules they play by. You must realize objectively that some pieces are more valuable than others and that the king is the most valuable of all. You cannot learn reality if you get caught up in the fantasy that, quotation marks, it's not fair. You must come to know that the ultimate outcome of the game is the only thing that counts. You were lied to when you were told that it does not matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Winning in the world of the elite is everything. Indeed, it is the only thing the power elite intend to win. My research has shown at this point that the future laid out for us may be just about impossible to change. I do not agree with the means by which the powerful few have chosen for us to reach the end. I do not agree that the end is where we should end at all. But unless we can wake the people from their sleep, nothing short of a civil war will stop the planned outcome. I base that statement not on defeatism, but on the apathy of the majority of the American people. 25 years ago, I would have believed otherwise, but 25 years ago, I was also sound asleep. We have been taught lies. Reality is not at all what we perceive it to be. We cannot survive any longer by hanging on to the falsehoods of the past. Reality must be discerned at all costs if we are to be part of the future. Truth must prevail in all instances, no matter who it hurts or helps, if we are to continue to live upon this earth. At this point, what we want may no longer matter. Remember, he's writing in 1990. It is what we must do to ensure our survival that counts. The old way is in the certain process of destruction, and a new world order is beating down the door. To cling to the past is to guarantee suicide. To remain apathetic is an assured enslavement. To learn the truth and then act upon it is the only means of survival at this moment. To shrug off the information contained in this book and to disregard its warning will result in the complete destruction of the Republic of the United States of America. You will never get a second warning or a second chance. Like it or not, this is it. Stark reality. You can no longer turn your head, ignore it, pretend it's not true, say it can't happen to me, run or hide. The wolf is at the door. I fear for the little ones, the innocents who are already paying for our mistakes. There exists a great army of occupationally orphaned children. They are attending government-controlled daycare centers and latchkey kids who are running wild in the streets. And the lopsided, emotionally wounded children of a single welfare mothers, born only for the sake of more money and the monthly check. Open your eyes and look at them, for they are the future. In them I see the sure and certain destruction of this once proud nation. In their vacant eyes I see the death of freedom. They carry with them a great emptiness, and someone will surely pay a great price for their suffering. If we do not act in concert with each other and ensure that the future becomes what we need it to be, then we will surely deserve whatever fate awaits us. I believe with all my heart that God put me in places and in positions throughout my life so that I would be able to deliver this warning to his people. I pray that I have been worthy and that I have done my job. This is my creed. I believe first in God, the same God in which my ancestors believed. I believe in Jesus Christ and that he is my Savior. Second, I believe in the Constitution of the Republic of the United States of America, without interpretation as it was written and meant to work. I have given my sacred oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I intend to fulfill that oath. Third, I believe in the family unit, and in particular my family unit. I have sworn that I will give my life, if it is required, in defense of God, the Constitution, or my family. Fourth, I believe that any man without principles that he is ready and willing to die for at any given moment is already dead and is of no use or consequence whatsoever. William Cooper, August 3, 1990, Camp Verde, Arizona. Chapter 14 in Behold a Pale Horse is a proposed constitutional model for the new states of America, prepared over a 10-year period by the Center for Democratic Studies of Santa Barbara, California, at a total cost to the United States taxpayers of over $25 million. It was prepared several decades ago with your taxpayer money. A proposed constitutional model for the new states of America. The preamble reads, "So that we may join in common endeavors, welcome the future in good order, and create an adequate and self-repairing government, we, the people, do establish the new states of America, herein provided to be ours, and do ordain this Constitution, whose supreme law it shall be, until the time prescribed for it shall have run." The preamble of the Constitution of the State of Arizona reads, "We, the people of the State of Arizona, grateful to Almighty God for our liberties, do ordain this Constitution." The Constitution preamble for the United States reads, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Once again, the preamble for a proposed constitutional model for the new states of America. "So that we may join in common endeavors, welcome the future in good order, and create an adequate and self-repairing government, we the people do establish the new states of America, herein provided to be ours, and do ordain this Constitution whose supreme law it shall be until the time prescribed for it shall have run. Article 1, Rights and Responsibilities. Article 2, the new state. Article 3, the electoral branch. Article 4, the planning branch. Article 5, the presidency. Article 6, the legislative branch, the Senate and the House of Representatives. Article 7, the regulatory branch. Article 8, the judicial branch. Article 9, general provisions. Article 10, governmental arrangements. Article 11, amendments. Article 12, transition. We're going to read transition. Article 12, section 1 through 11. It is the final article. Remember that the Constitution of the United States of America had 7 articles and 27 amendments. Article 12, Transition. Section 1. The President is authorized to assume such powers, make such appointments, and use such funds as are necessary to make this Constitution effective as soon as possible after acceptance by a referendum he may initiate. Section 2. Such members of the Senate may be at once available, shall convene, and, if at least shall constitute sufficient membership while others are being added. They shall appoint an overseer to arrange for electoral organization and elections for the offices of government, but the president and vice president shall serve out their terms and then become members of the Senate. At that time, the presidency shall be constituted as provided in this Constitution. We need to remember that the Senate, if I can find it right here, all right, it's coming up. The Senate, Section 2, membership shall continue for life except that absences not provided by rule shall constitute retirement, and that senators may retire voluntarily. I'll read it again. Section 2, Article 6, the legislative branch, the Senate, Part A. Membership shall continue for life except that absences not provided for by rule shall constitute retirement, and that senators may retire voluntarily. Back to Article 12, Section 3. Until each indicated change in the government shall have been completed, the provisions of the existing Constitution and the organs of government shall be in effect. Section 4. All operations of the national government shall cease as they are replaced by those authorized under this Constitution. The President shall determine when replacement is complete. The President shall cause to be constituted an appropriate commission to designate existing laws inconsistent with this Constitution, and they shall be void. Also, the Commission shall assist the President and the legislative houses in the formulating of such laws as may be consistent with the Constitution and necessary to its implementation. Section 5. For establishing new states' boundaries, a commission of 13 appointed by the President shall make recommendations within 1 year. For this purpose, members may take advice and commission studies concerning resources, population, transportation, communication, economic and social arrangements, and such other conditions as may be significant. The President shall transmit the Commission's report to the Senate. After entertaining, if convenient, petitions for revision, the Senate shall report whether the recommendations are satisfactory, but the President shall decide whether they shall be accepted or shall be returned for revision. Existing states shall not be divided unless a metropolitan area extending over more than one state are to be included in one new state, or unless other compelling circumstances exist, and each new state shall possess harmonious regional characteristics. The Commission shall continue while the new states make adjustments among themselves and shall have jurisdiction in disputes arising among them. Section 6. Constitutions of the new states shall be established as arranged by the Judicial Council and the Principal Justice. These procedures shall be as follows. Constitutions shall be drafted by the highest courts of the new state. There shall be a convention of 100 delegates chosen in special elections in a procedure approved by the overseer. If the Constitution be not rejected, the Principal Justice, advised by the Judicial Council, shall promulgate a constitution and initiate revisions to be submitted for the approval at a time he shall appoint. If it again be rejected, he shall promulgate another, taking account of the objectives, and it shall be in effect. A constitution, once in effect, shall be valid for 25 years as herein provided. A constitution, once in effect, shall be valid for 25 years as herein provided. Section 7. Until governors and legislatures of the new states are seated, their governments shall continue, except that the President may appoint temporary governors to act as executives until succeeded by those regularly elected. These governors shall succeed to the executive functions of the states as they become one of the new states of America. Remember that the President is elected for 9 years. Shall have one term of 9 years unless rejected by 60% of the electorate after 3 years. The President will serve 9 years. A constitution, once in effect, shall be valid for 25 years as herein provided. Section 7. That was an aside about the President. Until governors and legislatures of the new states are seated, their governments shall continue, except that the President may appoint temporary governors to act as executives until succeeded by those regularly elected. These governors shall succeed to the executive functions of the states as they become one of the new states of America. Section 8. The indicated appointments, elections, and other arrangements shall be made with all deliberate speed. Section 9. The First Judicial Assembly for selecting a register for candidates for the principal justiceship of the new states of America shall be called by the incumbent Chief Justice immediately upon ratification. Section 10. New states electing by referendum not to comply with recommendations of the Boundary Commission, as approved by the Senate, shall have deducted from taxes collected by the new states of America for transmission to them a percentage equal to the loss in efficiency from failure to comply. Estimates shall be made by the Chancellor of Financial Affairs and approved by the President, but the deduction shall not be less than 7%. Section 11. When this Constitution has been implemented, the President may delete by proclamation appropriate parts of this article. This is Article 12 of the proposed constitutional model, the New States of America, written several decades ago over a 10-year period by the Center for Democratic Studies of Santa Barbara, California, at a total cost to the United States taxpayers of over $25 million. And I don't believe we knew anything about it. What has happened to our Constitution. What has happened?
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
the music that I had wanted to play is not coming up. Hold on one more moment.
In your hands, my dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not in mine.
A funeral march.
The grave that they dug in had flowers gathered from the hillsides in bright summer colors. And the brown earth bleached white at the edge of his gravestone. He's gone. When the wars of our nation did beckon, a man barely 20 did answer the calling, proud of the trust that he placed in our nation. He's gone, but eternity knows him. Leaves of his flowers, leaving brown muddy clay where the earth had been dry. And deep in the trench, he waited for hours as he held to his rifle and prayed not to die. But the silence of night was shattered by fire. Guns and grenades blasted sharp through the air. One after another, his comrades were slaughtered in a morgue of marines. Alone standing there, he crouched ever lower with fear. They can't let me die. They can't let me die here. I'll cover myself with the mud and the earth. I'll cover myself. I know I'm not crazy. The earth, the earth, the earth is my grave. The grave that they dug him had flowers gathered from the hillsides in bright summer colors, and the brown earth bleached white at the edge of his gravestone. He's gone.
Call G. Miller at Swiss America Trading. The number is 1-800-BUY-COIN. Ask G. Miller to send you the recent newsletter and other information that can help to protect you and your family. Chapter 16 of Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper is the story of Jonathan May. Jonathan May attempted to free us from the shackles of the Federal Reserve by creating an alternative banking system with instruments backed by land, raw materials, mineral deposits, oil, coal, timber, and other wilderness holdings. The New World Order is using his plan. Jonathan has served 8 years now of a 15-year sentence. And isn't it a coincidence that he will probably come out of jail? He, an Englishman, will come out of jail in the year 2001. Call Swiss America Trading. Talk to Gene Miller. 1-800-BUY-COIN. Jonathan May was given a sentence that was unconstitutional in an admiralty jurisdiction, Article I tribunal called a U.S. District Court. He will not be out of jail until the year 2001. Call Gene Miller and prepare your family and listen to this foreword to a 1984 book about the basic facts about the United Nations. This foreword is written by the Secretary General. In the nearly four decades since the United Nations was founded, and don't forget they plan to celebrate in October 1995 the 50th anniversary of the United Nations, the world has changed greatly, and with it the United Nations itself. From the original 51 member states in 1945, the organization's membership has more than tripled, reflecting in large part the virtual end of the colonial empires and the achievement of independence by the majority of countries. This, in turn, has led to changing concepts of a world's priorities, to the search for new solutions to mankind's age-old problems, and to new ways of meeting basic human needs for food and shelter and for freedom from want and fear. Through all these changes, the United Nations Charter, you need to read it and read their preamble, the United Nations Charter, to whose purposes and principles all member states subscribe, has stood as a guide along the road to peace and cooperation among nations. This little book describes in summary form the work of the United Nations for international peace and security, for economic and social development, for human rights, for decolonization, for the rule of law. It is addressed particularly to the generations born since the end of the Second World War, to whom a new world order offers opportunities unknown in the past. It is my hope that readers of this book will gain from it a fuller understanding of the meaning of the United Nations and a greater grasp of its efforts and goals. I repeat, it is addressed particularly to the generations born since the end of the Second World War, to whom a new world order offers opportunities unknown in the past. Signed by the Secretary General, 1984. You need to call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN and ask him how you can protect your family. Continuing on with the new state's constitution, prepared over a 10-year period with our taxpayer money, Article 1. Rights and Responsibilities has 16 sections with under rights and 13 sections under responsibilities. 1. Freedom of expression, of communication, of movement, of assembly, or of petition shall not be abridged except in declared emergency. Section 2. Access to information possessed by the governmental agency shall not be denied except in interest of national security, but communications among officials necessary to decision-making shall be privileged. Section 3. Public communicators may decline to reveal sources of information but shall be responsible for hurtful disclosures. Section 4. The privacy of individuals shall be respected. Searches and seizures shall be made only on judicial warrant. Persons shall be pursued or questioned only for the prevention of crime or the apprehension of suspected criminals, and only according to the rules established under law. Section 5. There shall be no discrimination because of race, creed, color, origin, or sex. The Court of Rights and Responsibilities may determine whether selection for various occupations has been discriminatory. Section 6. All persons shall have equal protection of all the laws and all electoral procedures. The vote of every eligible citizen shall count equally with others. Section 7. It shall be public policy to promote discussion of public issues and to encourage peaceful public gatherings for this purpose. Permission to hold such gatherings shall not be denied, nor shall they be interrupted except in declared emergency or on showing of imminent danger to public order and on judicial warrant. 8. The practice of religion shall be privileged, but no religion shall be imposed by some on others, and none shall have public support. 9. Any citizen may purchase, sell, lease, hold, convey, and inherit real and personal property and shall benefit equally from all laws for security in such transactions. 10. Those who cannot contribute to the productivity shall be entitled to a share of the national product, but distribution shall be fair, and the total may not exceed the amount for this purpose held in the national sharing fund. 11. Education shall be provided at public expense for those who meet appropriate tests of eligibility. I repeat, education shall be provided at public expense for those who meet appropriate tests of eligibility. Section 12, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. No property shall be taken without compensation. Section 13, legislatures shall define crimes and conditions requiring restraint, but confinement shall not be for punishment, and when possible, there shall be preparation for return to freedom. Section 14, no person shall be placed twice in jeopardy for the same offense. Section 15, writs of habeas corpus shall not be suspended except in declared emergency. Section 16, accused persons shall be informed of charges against them, shall have a speedy trial, shall have reasonable bail, shall be allowed to confront witnesses or to call others, and shall not be compelled to testify against themselves. At the time of arrest, they shall be informed of their right to be silent and to have counsel, provided if necessary at public expense, and courts shall consider the contention that prosecution may be under an invalid or unjust statute. B. Responsibilities. Section 1. Each freedom of the citizen shall prescribe a corresponding responsibility not to diminish that of others, of speech, communication, assembly, and petition, to grant the same freedom to others, of religion, to respect that of others, of privacy, not to invade that of others, of the holding and disposal of property, the obligation to extend the same privilege to others. Section 2, individuals and enterprises holding themselves out to serve the public shall serve all equally and without intention to misrepresent, conforming to such standards as may improve health and welfare. Section 3, protection of the law shall be repaid by assistance in its enforcement. This shall include respect for the procedure of justice, apprehension of lawbreakers, and testimony at trial. Section 4. Each citizen shall participate in the processes of democracy, assisting in the selection of officials and in the monitoring of their conduct in office. 5. Each shall render such services to the nation as may be uniformly required by law, objection by reason of conscience being adjudicated as hereinafter provided, and none shall expect or may receive special privileges unless they be for a public purpose defined by law. 6. Each shall pay whatever share of governmental costs is consistent with fairness to all. 7. Each shall refuse awards or titles from other nations or their representatives except as they be authorized by law. 8. There shall be a responsibility to avoid violence and to keep the peace. For this reason, the bearing of arms or the possession of lethal weapons shall be confined to the police, members of the armed forces, and those licensed under law. I'm going to read Section 8 again. There shall be a responsibility to avoid violence and to keep the peace. For this reason, the bearing of arms or the possession of lethal weapons shall be confined to the police, members of the armed forces, and those licensed under law. Think about that. Eight, there shall be a responsibility to avoid violence and keep the peace. I read that. 9, each shall assist in preserving the endowments of nature and enlarging the inheritance of future generations. 10. Those granted the use of public lands, the air or waters, shall have a responsibility for using these resources so that, if irreplaceable, they are conserved, and if replaceable, they are put back as they were. Section 11. Retired officers of the armed forces, of the senior civil service, and of the Senate shall regard their service as a permanent obligation and shall not engage in enterprise seeking profit from the government. 12. The devising or controlling of devices for management or technology shall establish responsibility for resulting costs. 13. all rights and responsibilities defined herein shall extend to such associations of citizens as may be authorized by law. Article 2. Remember, there are 12 articles. Article 2, the new states. 1. Section 1. There shall be new states, each comprising no less than 5% of the whole population. Existing states may continue and may have status of new states if the Boundary Commission hereinafter provided shall so decide. The Commission shall be guided in its recommendations by the probability of accommodations to the conditions for effective government. States electing by referendum to continue if the Commission recommend otherwise shall nevertheless accept all new states' obligations. Section 2. The new states shall have constitutions formulated and adopted by processes herein after prescribed. Section 3. They shall have governors, legislatures, and planned administrative and judicial systems. Their political procedures, Section 4, their political procedures shall be organized and supervised by electoral overseers, but their elections shall not be in years of presidential election. And remember, the president is elected every 9 years. Section 5, the electoral apparatus of the new states of America shall be available to them, and they may be allotted funds under rules agreed to by the national overseer, but expenditures may not be made by or for any candidate except they be approved by the overseer, and requirements of residence in a voting district shall be no longer than 30 days. Section 6. They may charter subsidiary governments, urban or rural, and they may delegate to them powers appropriate to their responsibilities. Section 7. They may lay or may delegate the laying of taxes, but these shall conform to the restraints stated hereinafter for the new states of America. Section 8. They may not tax exports, they may not tax with intent to prevent imports, and may not impose any tax forbidden by laws of the new states of America, but the objects appropriate for taxation shall be clearly designated. Section 9. Taxes on land may be at higher rates than those on its improvements. Section 10. They shall be responsible for the administration of public services not reserved to the government of the new states of America, and such activities being concerned with those of corresponding national agencies where these exist, under arrangements common to all. 11. The rights and responsibilities prescribed in this Constitution shall be effective in the new states and shall be suspended only in emergency when declared by governors and not disapproved by the Senate of the new states of America. Section 12. Police powers of the new states shall extend to all matters not reserved to the new states of America, but preempted powers shall not be impaired. Section 13. New states may not enter into any treaty, alliance, confederation, or agreement unless approved by the Boundary Commission hereinafter provided. They may not coin money, provide for the payment of debts in any but legal tender, or make any charge for inter-new state services. They may not exact ex post facto laws or ones impairing the obligation of contracts. Section 14. New states may not impose barriers to imports from other jurisdictions or impose any hindrance to citizens' freedom of movement. Section 15. If governments of the new states fail to carry out fully their constitutional duties, their officials shall be warned and may be required by the Senate or their recommendation of the watchkeeper to forfeit revenues from the new states of America. Now we move on to Article 3 of the 12 Articles, the Electoral Branch. Section 1, to arrange for participation by the electorate in the determination of policies and the selection of officials, there shall be an electoral branch. Section 2, an overseer of electoral procedures shall be chosen by majority of the Senate and may be removed by a two-thirds vote. It shall be the overseer's duty to supervise the organization of national and district parties, arrange for discussion among them, and provide for the nomination and election of candidates for public office. While in office, the overseer shall belong to no political organization, and after each presidential election shall offer to resign. 3. A national party shall be one having at least 5% affiliation in the latest general election, but a new party shall be recognized when valid petitions have been signed by at least 2% of the voters in each of 30% of the districts drawn for the House of Representatives. Recognition shall be suspended upon failure to gain 5% of the votes at a second election, 10% at a third, or 15% at further elections. District parties shall be recognized when at least 2% of the voters shall have signed petitions of affiliation, but recognition shall be withdrawn upon failure to attract the same percentages as are necessary for the continuance of national parties. 4. Recognition by the overseer shall bring parties within established regulations and entitle them to common privileges. 5. The overseer shall promulgate rules for party conduct and shall see that fair practices are maintained, and for this purpose shall appoint deputies in each district and shall supervise the choice in district and national conventions of party administrators. Regulations and appointments may be objected to by the Senate. Section 6. The overseer with the administrator and other officials shall A. provide the means for discussion in each party of public issues, and for this purpose ensure that members have adequate facilities for participation. B. arrange for discussion in annual district meetings of the president's views of the findings of the planning branch and such other information as may be pertinent for the enlightened political discussion. C. arrange on the first Saturday in each month for enrollment valid for 1 year of voters at convenient places. Section 7. The overseer shall also assist the parties in nominating candidates for district members of House of Representatives each 3 years, and for this purpose designate 100 districts, each with a similar number of eligible voters, redrawing districts after each election. In these, there shall be party conventions having no more than 300 delegates, so distributed that representation of voters be approximately equal. Candidates for delegates may become eligible by presenting petitions signed by 200 registered voters. They shall be elected by party members on the first Tuesday in March, those having the largest number of votes being chosen until the 300 be complete. 10 alternates shall also be chosen by the same process. District conventions shall be held on the first Tuesday in April. Delegates shall choose 3 candidates for membership of the House of Representatives, the 3 having the most votes becoming candidates. B. arranging for the election each 3 years of 3 members of the House of Representatives in each district from among the candidates chosen in party conventions, the 3 having the most votes to be elected. The overseer shall also A. arrange for national conventions. To meet 9 years after previous presidential elections. With an equal number of delegates from each district, the whole number not to exceed 1,000. Candidates for delegates shall be eligible when petitions signed by 500 registered voters have been filed. Those with the most votes, together with 2 alternates, being those next in the number of votes, shall be chosen in each district. Approve procedures in these conventions for choosing 100 candidates to be members at large of the House of Representatives whose terms shall be conterminous with that of the President. For this purpose, delegates shall file 1 choice with convention officials. Voting on submissions shall proceed until 100 achieve 10%, but not more than 3 candidates may be resident in any one district. If any district have more than 3, those with the fewest votes shall be eliminated, others being added from the districts having less than 3 until equality be reached. Of those added, those having the most votes shall be chosen first. C. Arrange procedures for the consideration and approval of party objectives by the convention. D. Formulate rules for the nomination in these conventions of candidates for president and vice president when the offices are to fall vacant. Candidates for nomination to be recognized when petitions shall have been presented by 100 or more delegates pledged to continue support until candidates can no longer win or until they consent to withdraw. Presidents and vice presidents, together with representatives at large, shall submit referendum after serving for 3 years, and if they are rejected, new conventions shall be held within 1 month, and candidates shall be chosen as for vacant offices. Candidates for president and vice president shall be nominated on attaining a majority. E. Arrange for the election on the first Tuesday in June in appropriate years of new candidates for the president and vice presidents and members at large of the House of Representatives, all being presented to the nation's voters as a ticket. If no ticket achieve a majority, the overseer shall arrange another election on the third Tuesday in June between the two persons having the most votes, and if referendum so determined, he shall provide similar arrangements for the nomination and election of candidates. In this election, the one having the most votes shall prevail. There's also Section 9, 10, and 11. Good night. God bless you.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Hey, this land is safe and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that in the skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I told this ramble and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of the Diamond River. And all around me a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the River Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Hey, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, and I was golden, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling, and as the fall was ending.